I unfortunately am a bit competitive, and if you've ever played a game with me or sports, you will find that I am not one to quit. I am one to pout at times, but I am not one to quit. It doesn't matter if all hope seems to be lost, I still am going to do everything I can to win. Now that's in competitive things, though I would have to admit, as I think all of you would probably have to admit, that there are times in your life that you quit on something. You gave up. You lost hope. Usually what precedes quitting is losing hope. You gave up on, sometimes it's the Lord and what you were believing, hoping he would do. Sometimes it's earthly matters. You gave up on financial things. You gave up on your health. You gave up on a relationship, marriage. And sometimes, even in that giving up, we're still there doing the stuff. Like sometimes in a marriage, there could be two individuals that are still together, but somehow along the way, they gave up on the marriage. Hope was lost. And this morning, as we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we want to know, if I've lost hope, can I find that again? Again, maybe you've lost hope that your relationship, maybe your children, maybe your adult children, you've lost hope that they'll ever come back to the faith. Or you lost hope that your children will ever not be so crazy. Or maybe you've lost hope in other family relationships, or you've lost hope that you'll ever be able to make ends meet. And I see that time and time again where people fall apart financially, so they just start spending everything. They just keep going deeper and deeper in debt because, well, I'll never be out of this mess. Or again, your health or personal growth things, you want to be stronger in your faith, you want to overcome certain things, and you've tried, and at some point you lost hope. Or the hope that one day we will not be wearing masks when we go into the store. Or one day the things that were affected by COVID will be changed, and we've kind of just started to accept that maybe this is the way life's going to be for the rest of my time here. You've lost hope. Or maybe those of you who have this drive in you to be a world changer, to impact the world around you, and you've tried different things, and different things didn't happen, and you kind of lost hope on that. Or there's that sin that you at various moments, I don't know if you've ever been like me, you've been in services where the excitement was there, the energy was there, a prophetic word was given, some great message was preached, and you walk away from that thinking, I can beat this thing. Then days, weeks later, you succumb to the temptation once again, and you lose hope. Maybe you care for and long for this particular church, for Bethel to thrive and be a flourishing church to impact our community. And you were here, as many of you were here in, quote, the glory days when things were amazing and you had full services and you had two services and stuff was happening in the community. And you see the way things were at various points, and you even saw the last few years how things got better and then COVID came and things got a little down. And you lost hope that Bethel can be what you had imagined in your mind. Our measure of hope that we have is delicately linked to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, he says that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our belief in the resurrection causes us to have this hope that things can be better, that something is going to happen, that on the horizon there is a future for me, a hope. And yet there was this encounter that took place in Luke 24 where these two disciples, not apostles, if you look at verse 33, it'll tell you that these two were not apostles. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. And the crucifixion had happened. And it was the day of resurrection. It was this day. And there were rumors that the resurrection had taken place. And these two disciples were dealing with that in their head on whether or not they believed that. And they were on this road to Emmaus. And as they are on this road that might symbolically represent for us roads that are ahead of us, There are roads that can lead to hope, and there are roads that can lead to killing that hope. And the question for us on the day when we should have hope, on the day of resurrection, do you have hope this morning? Do you have hope in Jesus Christ? Do you have hope in your eternal future? Do you have hope in the earthly promises that Jesus has given you? And if there is some lostness of that, perhaps in this road to Emmaus, we're going to see something that we haven't seen before. If we want to find hope, recover our hope, we have to know Luke. Well, first is the 21. Verse 21, Luke 24, verse 21. As Jesus was telling them events that they were aware of, and then they respond to him in verse 21, and it says, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." We had hoped. At one point we hope, but right now we don't hope anymore. And why is it that they had hoped? Why is it that they weren't hoping anymore? Because just 3 days ago, the guy who they thought was going to rescue Israel from the Roman government, the guy they thought was the Messiah, he's dead. Many of them witnessed him brutally beaten and crucified and placed in the tomb. He's gone. If our hope was in him, he's gone. All hope is lost. And their present circumstances was death and darkness and despair, and everything about their present moment told them they should have no hope. And if you want to know how to kill hope in your life, rely entirely on present circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean that our circumstances can't speak to us. But if you're relying on, with your marriage, how good is my marriage today to tell you whether or not you should have hope for tomorrow, you're working on killing hope. If you're relying today on your children, your adult children, how they're behaving, on whether or not they're going to follow Christ, your grandchildren, your hope will be killed many times. Because I don't know if you know this, I think you do, but life many times gives us circumstances that are not good. And so if you are relying on whether or not it's good or bad right now, then you will find yourself not believing and not hoping in greater things. This is the road they were on. They had hoped because of the circumstances. They also had hoped, as I said, because they thought that the way this was going to work was the Messiah was going to overthrow the Roman government. He was going to liberate them, not from sin, although that might have been part of it in their head, but that's not what they were looking for. They were looking for a revolution. They were looking for a complete freedom from the bondage that the Roman government had placed on them. And now the guy who was supposed to free them, he's dead. All hope has been lost. And even still, though, what's puzzling is they knew ahead of time. When they had hope, they knew that he was supposed to be crucified. When they had hope, they knew he was supposed to die. They also know he was supposed to rise from the dead. But remember, they couldn't hear that. They didn't want to listen to that because they were focused on what they expected to happen. And the reason why hope left them is because they failed to adjust their expectations to God's expectations. Sometimes the reason why your hope has left is because you were expecting God to do something that he never said he was going to do. You were expecting God to do some miracle, and he didn't say he was going to do that miracle. You were expecting God to make it easier for you, and he didn't say he was going to make it easier for you. And so when the circumstances come, we don't put our hope on our circumstances. However, we see the circumstances, and we let God guide us to show us what was he planning on doing with this. Which road are you on this morning, the road to kill hope or the road to recover your hope? They were on the road to Emmaus where they were relying on present circumstances and failing to adjust. They also, verse 21, says, yes, halfway through there, yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. And why were they mentioning it's now the third day? Because this is the day he said he was going to come back to life. And though other people said that he has come back to life, we haven't seen it. Anybody know, I used to live in the Missouri state. What is the Missouri state's tagline? Yes, the show me state. I didn't see it, so how do I know it's real? And it's the third day, and it hasn't come to me yet. And the third day is here. You want to know how to kill hope very quickly in your life? Put a timetable on God. Tell him that, well, I thought it was supposed to happen by now. And I'm sure that many of us have said those things. I thought by now it would be better. By now it would have changed. By now it would be different. And God's table isn't your timetable. God doesn't work according to your plans and your schedule. God works in his own timing. And if you want to be on the road to kill hope, fix a timetable on the things that you expect from God. Then verse 22 through 24. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now, mind you that they're saying this when they just said that they don't have hope anymore. That means when they said we had hope, they had already heard these rumors. They had already heard the reports that he's alive. Jesus is alive. And what did they react? How did they react to that? They still didn't believe. They still didn't have hope. And you know what's funny about us? When we get down on ourselves, when we're feeling discouraged, when we're seeing all the things that are falling apart, it is so difficult sometimes for us to see the glimmer of hope that's around us. And we tend to doubt and criticize and ridicule when the hope, when the optimism comes our way, we try to shoot it down because it's too painful. Sometimes it's too painful to have hope. I don't want to have hope because I don't want to be disappointed again. And if you want to find yourself killing hope, just start putting down every single sign of hope that comes around you. Start doubting it. These guys were on the road of Emmaus and they had no hope. Why? Because these were the things that were inside of their heart. Then in verse 25, Jesus begins to, again, they don't recognize him. Jesus begins to call them out for the things that were inside of them. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. All that the prophets had spoken. And the prophets, this is not just, you know, people on TV. Of course, they didn't have TV back then. These aren't just claimed prophets. These were the scriptural prophets. These were Jeremiah and Isaiah and Malachi, those prophets. When Jesus said the prophets, they had in mind the scrolls, the Old Testament, their Bible. And he said, the reason why you're foolish, the reason why you are saying you had hope is because you don't believe the scriptures. And if you want to know how to kill hope in your life, don't believe what the Word of God says. Don't believe the statements, the ideas, the promises in the Bible. Just stop trusting them and you will find that you will be on this road to kill hope in your life. Verse 26, Jesus speaking to them still says, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? The thing he said to them before, he's saying to them again, wasn't this what was supposed to happen? This cross, this death, this crucifixion, this challenge, this obstacle, this difficulty, this heartache, isn't this what was supposed to happen? And yet they didn't believe it. They didn't expect difficulties to come. And many of us, the reason why we lose hope is because when difficulties come, we're shocked. You know, we didn't expect it to get hard. Many people give up on things. They give up on ministry. They give up on reaching someone. They give up on doing certain things in their lives. Why do they give up? Because it got hard. And I want you to know something. If you give up on things because it gets hard, you're never going to find anything that is of any depth or satisfaction if you give up on it because it got hard. And when you set yourself up that way, that's what leads to this place where you perhaps are like these two disciples today. Whether it's towards Christ or whether it's towards the things he does in your life or for you, many of you are in this spot on this road saying, I had hoped. And you know, that's all well and good. I think a lot of us might know these kind of things that destroy hope in our lives. But do we know how to recover it? Do we know how to get to a place where we believe again, we hope again, when once before we weren't? How do we get on this road to recover our hope? Verse 27 says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When Jesus saw they had no hope, where did he turn? To the very book, the very scripture that they were struggling to accept. And in verse 32, later down in that experience, they said after he had disappeared, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us to the scriptures? You want to know how to recover hope? You need answers? Start searching the scriptures. Start studying the Bible and seeing, what does the Bible say about this pain I'm in? What does the Bible say about these circumstances I'm in? What does the Bible say with this thing that I'm struggling with? And you will find as you start to search and read and reflect on and ponder and consume the Word of God, something burning inside of you. A hope that wasn't there before begins to resurface because I'm looking to the Word for answers. And then verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He, being Jesus, acted as if he were going further. I like that it says he was acting. Jesus, you know, Jesus was a kidder sometimes too. He was playing with them like he wasn't going to keep going along with them when he had every intention to. But when he did that, verse 29, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far apart. So when he went in, he stayed with them. They were encountering this man when they had no hope. They didn't know yet it was Jesus, but there was something going on in this interaction with him. They were feeling better. When they were there talking with Jesus, asking him questions, and he was saying things back to them, something was happening within them that made them feel hopeful again. And if you find yourself struggling, suffering, losing hope, start talking to Jesus. Start telling him why you're sad, why you're sorrowful, why you don't believe, why you're having heartache, what the pain is you're going through, and go through those things with him and spend time with him. And I'm telling you, if you really are there with Jesus, hope begins to awaken again. But many of us, when we're doubting, when we're struggling, we don't have the heart to turn to Scripture. We don't have the heart to get in God's presence for whatever reason. But if you want to get on this road to hope, this is the pathway to it. Verse 30 and 31, and as I had referenced that when we received communion, it says when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. It's odd. They didn't believe at this moment. They didn't have hope. Something was starting to stir in them. Something was starting to surface, but they didn't have hope. Odd. They were on the road to Emmaus, likely because this is what they were heading to do. We're going to go and we're going to do communion. But they didn't believe anymore. But I'm still going to do it. Jesus said to do this. I'm still going to do this. Just like with communion, and we could possibly use any other thing that Jesus told us to do these things, praying, being involved in the body of Christ, living righteously, doing those different things. There are times when we do the things that are, quote, religious to the world, and we're not feeling it. And I'm not feeling anything in this right now. You know, I don't know where's the energy, where's the spirit, where's the excitement, where's the presence. And yet these guys, they were losing hope, but they kept coming back. And you want to find yourself recovering hope? Keep doing the things Jesus told you to do. Whether there's power in it, whether you're feeling something or not, whether it's doing anything right now, keep doing the things that Jesus has called you to do. And you might have in a moment where you're doing the thing that Jesus told you to do and you walked in not having hope. You do the thing Jesus told you to do and all of a sudden your eyes are opened and you can see. And this hope begins to rise. Why? Because I'm on the road to hope. I'm searching the Bible for answers, talking to Jesus. Keeping into the Lord's work, verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? And what did they do? They rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. What did they do when they began to experience hope? They did something with it. They got up and they went and they told somebody. They testified, look what God did. And they started to do something with their work. I've counseled people that have wrestled with depression before. And you know what is very common when someone begins to feel sad and a little bit in despair? You know what they often do? They stop doing things. They retreat into their home. They stop being connected to people. They start doing the hobbies they used to do. They stop cleaning their house. They just become inactive. And it's amazing how God wired us to do things. That's why he tells us to do things. That's why when he created us in the garden, what did he do? Work the garden. Told us to work the garden because we're made to do. And if you make yourself inactive and you're not taking action, hope begins to go away. Because you're not doing the things that God has called you to do. Some of you are not active in doing the work of the kingdom of God. And hope has left you for different things and different reasons. And there's a reason. Because you're not actually on the road that leads to hope. You're not doing something. Faith is action, right? What do we say? James says that if I have faith without works, it's useless, it's dead. And it's not that the works earn anything, but if I actually have faith, then I do something with that faith. And so start doing, well, I don't believe. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to work out well. Neither do I. Sometimes you step out into the water and you try to do this whole walking on the water thing and eventually you start to sink. And it doesn't turn out well. But what does Jesus do? He shows up and he helps you back up again. And Jesus was pleased with Peter's faith. Why? Because he stepped out on the water. And you're not sure about your child. You're not sure about the person you want to witness to. And you're not sure how that's going to go. You're never going to know unless you do something. And I'm telling you, at the other side of do, there's hope. Don't you want to find hope again? Don't you want to believe for your relationships, for your health, for your marriage, for your finances, for the deliverance from sin and from being in a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ? Verse 31, again, says their eyes were open and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight, disappeared. He was there and now he's gone. But you're looking forward to that resurrected body where you can just say, you know what, I'm out of here. I want to go somewhere else. Poof. Walking through walls, awesome thing. Looking forward to that. But then in verse 36, as they were talking about these things, when he meet up with the apostles, Jesus himself stood among them and began to talk to them. He showed up again. He just comes and goes as he pleases. He's there 1 minute, then he's gone. And we know that Jesus is always with us, and yet sometimes the felt presence of him is stronger in one experience and not as strong in the other. Have you ever had those moments that you're praying, you're seeking God, and you're just feeling the presence of him all over you? And then you have other times where you're praying, you're seeking God, the Lord, and you feel nothing. There's times you're in a worship service, and wow, the anointing's powerful, and I feel the glory of the Lord here, and there's other times where there's nothing. And you want to know how to recover hope in your life? Embrace the way Jesus comes and goes. He said he'll always be with you and never forsake you, but he never said that you would always have a feeling. And if you're dependent on always feeling good, if you're dependent on always being a high, if you're dependent upon it always just being this amazing experience, then what happens when it's not? Because sometimes Jesus shows up in powerful ways and sometimes he vanishes. And if I embrace that this is the way he works, then I won't lose my hope when that kind of thing takes place. Verse 48 and 49, as he's continuing to give them instructions, he says to them, 48, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You've seen all this stuff. I've showed up and helped restore your hope. Now, get ready. Get ready for what? Get ready for this amazing experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit in which the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to flow through you. The experience that's going to lead to what? Something that we don't see in Luke, but we see in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? So that you will be my witnesses. If I become hopeful, is the hopeful experience just meant so that I can be optimistic? Is it just meant so I can be this bubbly, happy, optimistic person in life who just believes in great things? Is that the reason why God gave me hope? Is that the reason why he resurrected me? Is that the reason why he set me free, let me be able to see, experience the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Is that the reason why he gave me those things? Oh, it's great that he makes us feel good. It's great that he gives us comforts and peace, and he does want to do those things in our lives. But the main reason he does his work in your life is so that you can do his work in this world. And if you find yourself losing hope, perhaps because you're not actually on the road to hope, because the road to hope involves you doing the work of the kingdom of God. And if you're not sharing your faith, if you're not living for God's kingdom, if you're not waking up thinking, how can we help the church and not just Bethel, but the church at large advance its borders? How do I impact other people's lives? If you're not living for that, at some point your hope is going to evaporate. Because God's hope is meant to be the gasoline to fuel you to do the things that God wants you to do. Lastly, the road to understanding earthly hope. Here's the puzzling thing. Is even though that God gives us a lot of promises, is because they're set in eternity. Most of when you get guarantees from God, it's about the afterlife. It's about the resurrection. It's not about this life. Because our minds are supposed to be heavenward, not earthly. Our minds are supposed to be hoped on what is to come. And yet at the same time, the reality is that he wants us to have hope for earthly experiences. He wants us to believe for certain things. They're just not guaranteed as much as the eternity is. That's why in Malachi 3, he tells the tither that if you tithe, the blessings of the Lord, the financial favor of the Lord in the earthly sense will be upon you. It's why the psalm writer was inspired in Psalm 10, verse 17 and 18, to write, you hear the desire of the afflicted, you will strengthen their heart, you will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. God does work to bring deliverance and relief to earthly experiences that we have. The question is, how do we have hope for our earthly existence? There are some tips that God gives us. One, in Psalm 42, verse 11, it says the same thing in 43, verse 5. The psalm writer says to himself, ever talk to yourself? That's biblical. Did you know that? He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Sometimes you need to give yourself a pep talk. Sometimes you need to show yourself why you should believe, why you should have hope. Because you're not going to always have other people there by your side leading you on and encouraging you and being your cheerleader. Sometimes you need to stop and say, no, come on, Danny, believe, hope, things can be different. God is here, believe. Show yourself. Also, Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. We were wired to have hope when there's something given to us. And if all we experience is failure, the earthly nature within us just gives up, that there's not a glimmer of hope. But does that mean that everything needs to go perfectly? Does that mean that things need to happen immediately? No. But what people often miss in order to rediscover their hope is they're not looking for the little victories around them that are showing, look, God's still here. God's still working. I didn't get the war won yet. The big thing that I'm hoping for didn't happen yet, but this little victory showed up. Isn't that what happened with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They were getting rumors and words and testimony, look, God is on the move. But they weren't taking hope in the little things. I was feeling discouraged sometime last weekend, and I walked into my office on Wednesday, opened the door, and there was a card that did not have an identification with it. The person didn't tell me who they were, but they left a note in the card and a gift. And in the card and the note, they said, "We want you to know that we see that you love people and that you're doing a good thing." When I was wondering and we're getting anywhere, God caused, and I believe that was from the Lord, God caused somebody to give me a little card. And what a discouraged, hopeless type person would do, could look at that and say, well, did they just see that I was feeling bad about myself? They were just trying to make me feel better. And we try to talk ourselves out of believing in the little victories that are there. And if you want to have hope, you need to believe the little victories and see them. Also, Romans 5, verse 3 through 5 says, suffering. And if you want, if you miss the references, let me know. I'll be glad to give my notes to you afterwards. Suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See how much link there is between the Holy Spirit and this hope. But see how much link there is between this suffering and this endurance and this pushing through and keep going kind mindset. That is when you experience hope. You don't experience hope when everything's going good. You experience hope when you push through to the other side. Learn the process of trials. Romans 8, verse 24 and 25. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. That's the kind of funny thing about hope. It's this invisible nature to it. That we get discouraged and we lose hope when we don't see something happen. But isn't that what hope is? Hope is the evidence of things hoped for, right? Hope is the, I don't see anything right now. And so how can we give up on hope when we're not seeing anything? That's the whole reason why hope is, that's the definition of hope, is to believe in something that is not there. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Don't you like that line? Richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That doesn't mean we're going to get all the toys we want. That means God wants to sow joy into our lives. He wants us to have joy. But we find that by not putting our trust in the uncertainty of these earthly things. If your hope is riding on a particular person being in your life forever, someday that person is going to be gone. If your hope is riding on that this body of yours is going to continue to be able to do the things you want it to do, there are people in this room that could testify to you that at some point that's going to be gone. If your hope is relying on you always feeling good, your feelings come and go. At some point, you're going to get discouraged. If your hope is relying on you having that job, you having that house, you having whatever it is that you're putting your hope in, at some point, it's going to be gone. These things are not reliable. But if you are putting your hope on the one thing that is eternal and constant and always able to be counted on, the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be shaken. Don't count on earthly things. And lastly, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How? Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How do we encounter this hope? We encounter this hope by being with the other believers that hope as well as us. And we find ourselves encouraged in that. I was pleased to hear when we harassed some of you to make sure you came to the annual business meeting 2 weeks ago. And there were some that stepped foot in the building that have not been here since COVID started. And there were some comments of, oh, I missed being here. Wow, did I miss being here. You want to know why? Because there's a hope when you and I are together encountering one another. And more so than just being in a church service, but talking with one another, praying with one another, doing life with one another. If you want to get on this road to have hope, you need to do it with other followers of Christ. You cannot have hope all by yourself. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? You have a test. You have something to say, Alma? Okay.
I was surprised this morning that he talked on hope, because I'm in the middle of hope right now. And I want to tell you, you got to hang in there. One morning, months ago, 6 or 7 months ago, the Lord woke me up early and he said, "Victory's coming." Okay, that's all the information I got. So I had no idea when it's coming, what it was. But I praised him and thanked him for my victory. Then one morning here up on the altar, we were praying, and Dan Hayden came up to me and he said to me, "The Lord told me to tell you he was going to answer the prayer that you have been praying for many years." I said, "Okay, that gives me a little bit of information. It's a long time prayer he's going to answer." So I praised him and thanked him for that.
Just keep going.
Okay. I praised him and thanked him for that. And nothing happened. And then I kind of got impatient. And I just said, "Lord, how long? How long is this going to take?"
You needed to hear this message, so you needed the timetable.
Yeah. So he didn't answer me, but I was watching television and he pointed out to me that it is a time appointed thing. So it's at his appointed time that he will bring my victory.
Amen.
I know it's a long-standing prayer, so I believe him. One, God doesn't lie. Two, anything that he's promised, he will bring it to pass. You keep your hope in him, keep your trust in him, and I still don't have an answer. I'm still waiting. It's a good 7 months now. And I said, "Lord," I said, "You promised Abraham a son." I says, "He waited 20 years. And I said, "Please let it be 20 years from now." So I just want to encourage all of you. Please trust him. Trust him. And keep your hope up. Keep your hope up. It's coming. He'll give it to you at his appointed time. Thank you.
So when that time does come, amen. Yes, when that time comes, we expect Alma to share that testimony with us. Amen. There's a concern with hope and a reality we need to understand about hope. These altars, and we're going to declare, as they lead us in a song, we're going to declare the hope we have in the resurrection and the resurrection work he's doing in our lives. The concern is that sometimes we can have hope, and we could decide, "I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to keep pounding at this door." And yet sometimes the question is, are we in God's will? Is this the thing God actually wants me to pursue? And sometimes we're fighting against the Lord while thinking we're maintaining hope. And so we want to make sure we're using discernment and we're letting God show us things and we're being open and humble. So make sure that you do that. Don't just blindly jump into something. Still use discernment. But the reality part of hope is some people think that if you get discouraged for a moment, that means you lost all your hope. Some people think that when you have a bad day, when you need a break, when you need to step away from things, you think that that means that you failed and you lost hope. And I don't know if some of you are like me. When one thing goes wrong, you just think that everything's gone wrong. You know, why keep trying? Because it messed up this one time. But that's not actual hope. And hope isn't a feeling. Hope isn't, "I feel great, I feel good, you know, I'm going to sing some happy song and I'll be great." Hope is action. Hope is, though it doesn't look good and I don't feel good inside, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to still take this act of faith and step forward. I'm going to still keep doing the things. I'm going to still keep pressing on, and I'm going to ask you to keep helping me. I'm going to say, oh, soul within me, wake up with this hope. I'm going to do those things. And that is a person who hopes, the person who keeps on going. So the question for you this morning, have you lost your hope in Jesus Christ? You wrestled with your relationship with Jesus. You've wrestled with surrendering to him, and today is the day that that needs to be resurrected. And you want to come down and stand at these altars and declare with all your might that I'm going to trust in Jesus, and I want you to come and begin to seek him. Or maybe you need a hope for your victory. You need hope to be resurrected in you for whatever it is that your fight is, whatever it is that you find yourself in. You need hope to be recovering in you. Then just begin to come and begin to seek him and let hope be resurrected in you. Or maybe you want to come and pray and declare in faith the victory that God's going to give Bethel, that he's going to resurrect things. And I believe that this year, and we've not really put the energy towards this yet, that God's going to get more of you back into this building, and we're going to get back onto the outreach, and we're going to do more things. And maybe you just want to come and declare and hope and believe in that Bethel has glory days ahead of them. And so whatever it is, remember this, Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Today we remember that Jesus is risen, so can we be also. Let's sing to him.
And the Lord says, you, this hope we have is as an anchor of the soul. Both sure, meaning it won't break, and steadfast, meaning it won't slip. So let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith.
Bonnie, would you put that slide up, by your spirit, I will rise? Exactly what I was talking about this morning. By your spirit, I will rise from what? The ashes of defeat. I can't rise from that if I'm not in it. This is hope. That we fail, we fall flat on our face, and we keep getting up again because we have hope. That's why we keep getting up. And many of you know our family dynamic is an interesting family dynamic. And in Heather and I, in our marriage, we see this demonstrated, the need for the body of Christ in that rare occasions, because there's moments where I'm down about family situations and I'm kind of losing hope in the midst of the storm, and she's feeling good, and she's encouraging me up. Then there's times where she's the one that's feeling down in the dumps and stuff, and I'm feeling fine. On a rare occasion do we both find ourselves down, and that's being in the body. And imagine that multiplied, where it's not just two of us, but it's many of us that are there together, where one's down, the other's there to help pick them up. That's what we want to be, amen? The body of Christ that is there to help one another and to see this thing resurrected. And I'm looking forward to John, who leads our men's ministry, has been getting together a special Father's Day event that is coming in a couple of months. We're planning on getting Food and Fellowship resurrected probably in July and start doing some of those things again. We're going to go back up to Coons, and we have a few other things up our sleeve. And we're believing this is going to be a year that we're going to start building back up from where we left off. We kind of just stalled a little bit. We took a break for a little bit, but we're getting back together. Amen? So if you came ready to give, offering plates will be in the back. As you leave, please put your offering in the plates there. We thank you so much for contributing. Those online, you know, you can give online. We appreciate that. Next week, we're going to get back into our Christian Life series about sexuality and how to find holy sexual satisfaction. Did you know that sex is not a dirty word to God? God actually wants us to be able to be satisfied, but how and in what way, and how to do that in a pure way? That's what we want to look to next week. Will you stand with me if you're not standing already? Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. And we ask that this resurrected hope would not just be a holiday thing, something we do and remember on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day, but may, as John came and said in my ear a minute ago, May this be a day that this church begins to rise. And Lord, as I said that as we were singing this song and the word rise came out of my mouth, made me think of Lazarus. When Jesus, you stepped up to that tomb, all you said was, Lazarus, come forth, rise. And he rose from the dead. And this church is going to rise in hope, and we're going to begin to see the resurrection of Marshall Shadlin and a movement of God. So, Lord, we're trusting in that. And we'll do the stuff, Lord. We'll do the things that you've called us to do. We'll act. But we need the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. Because no matter how much activity, no matter how much smartness there is and things that we do and strength, nothing can happen without the work of the Holy Spirit. So we ask that you would begin to move in us and through us and throughout this community and bring an awakening to us. As many of us go out and spend time with family members, some that aren't following you, may you help us to be a light to them. It's amazing that so many people observe Easter Sunday, but they don't actually trust in you. Atheists will come together for family gatherings on Easter. And may this be a moment that you use us to resurrect something in them. We thank you for what you're doing. Go with us, guide us, lead us, empower us, resurrect hope in us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.